Hello, and in this episode, we're going to help you with the prepositions out, up, of, and off, and answer more of your questions.
This is Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. I'm Craig.
And I'm Reza.
And if you are a new listener to this award-winning podcast, welcome. With over 45 years of teaching between Reza and I, we'll help you improve your English and take it to the next level. Oh yes, we're going to grow your grammar, vocalize your vocabulary, and Reza, what are we going to do with their pronunciation?
Perfect your pronunciation.
Exactly. Reza, do we have any feedback from anybody this week?
We certainly do. We have an email from Javier from Tolosa.
Javier from Tolosa. Hello, how are you again? Nice to hear from you. What does Javier say this week?
Javier writes, "Hi, Craig and Reza. Another year pass away." I don't think that's right, Javier. "Another year has passed or has passed by. Listening to your good podcast, but other new year will," I think you mean another, singular, "another new year will come with better ones for sure." I hope so.
We hope so, yeah.
"Have a good Christmas." Well, thank you. It's after Christmas now, but we appreciate your thoughts. "Have a good Christmas with your families, because I hope, like the ad of El Almendro," that's a turrón, I think, "you will go back home this Christmas." Yes. Yes, I did go back home. And Craig went to see his parents just before Christmas, I think. Right?
Yeah, I spent Christmas with my parents this year for the first time in many, many years. And it really was a lovely Christmas meal with the family and a wonderful time. Did you see the ad, the advertisement of El Almendro?
I think it must be "Vuelve en Navidad is no do do do." I don't know. "Porque hoy es noche buena." Is it that?
I didn't
vuelve
see it.
"Vuelve a casa, vuelve por Navidad." Is that the one?
Possibly.
That old one. I apologize.
Anyway.
Moving on swiftly.
Javier continues and says, "The last question of this year, please." Well, Javier, I think it's one of the first questions of 2017. He says, "I send you a part of the email from my friend Dino from Phoenix, Arizona."
Oh, Phoenix, Arizona. Do you remember my singing of "Is Anybody Going?" Don't you remember that? Oh, this is a classic episode of Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. "Is anybody going to Tennessee or Phoenix, Arizona? Any place is all right as long as I can forget I've ever known her." Charlie Pride. Oh, childhood memories. Sorry, Craig, I will let you continue.
Javier continues, "And I do not understand why he puts," that's Dino, "why Dino puts the, talking about days, but in one he did not put it. Is this correct? I thought that in English it was not correct to put the before days." So this is from the email that Javier received from his friend. Quote, "This week we've been very busy. The next Monday, Anne and Chris will be coming to our house for Christmas week. So we've been cleaning the house and preparing some of the food."
Well, that's wrong, isn't it?
Is it, though?
Yes.
Why?
Should it not just be next Monday without the? "This week, we've been very busy. Next Monday, Anne and Chris will be coming to our house." We don't need the word the.
We don't need it, but I'm not sure it's completely wrong, because I've heard many times people say, "The next Monday I'm going to," because they're making that Monday specific. And one thing we said when we spoke about the article is that if you want to change it from something general to something specific, use the. For example, you'd say the Tuesday after next, because it's a specific Tuesday.
Well, hold on, though. I agree with what you're saying, but I reckon we're going to confuse the listeners if we let them do it. And I'll tell you why. Although what you say is totally right, It's better, I think, just to learn that if you're talking about el lunes que viene, it's next Monday.
I agree. Usually that's true. Usually that's true. My point is, I think in this example from a native speaker, it's possible that you would use the when you're speaking about a specific Monday that's coming next week.
Okay.
But I agree with you, so that we don't confuse you, usually it would just be next Monday. Next Monday, I'm seeing my friend. Next Monday, I'm going abroad.
Yeah.
But in this example from Javier, I think it's correct. It was from a native speaker.
Oh, I think it's correct as well. But I think it's optional, the word the. Whereas, what about this? November last year, on the last Sunday of November, in the last Sunday of November, I met my friend Bob. Then on the last Monday, we said goodbye.
Yeah, because it's specific Monday.
Yeah. So I would say that the word the there is absolutely obligatory.
Yes, because it's specifying a Monday.
Right. Whereas if it's el lunes que viene, usually, but not always, we don't say the.
I agree.
So it's when it's el próximo lunes. I'm going to go into Spanish because I think it's easier for Spanish people. El próximo lunes is the next Monday. And el lunes que viene is next Monday.
Absolutely.
Because el que viene aún no ha venido. But el próximo lunes, maybe it has come and maybe it hasn't. El próximo lunes, as you say, could be in the future, but it could be in the past. It could be any time. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, I agree 100%. And I think the next example from Javier makes things a little clearer, because Javier's friend Dino continues in his email and he says, I suppose you and I have to eliminate the weekly call next Tuesday. Maybe we can do it on the Tuesday after New Year. Does that make things clearer?
For me, that's a much clearer sentence. Because there, on the first expression, next Tuesday, you cannot say the. It's wrong. No the.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the second expression, the Tuesday after New Year, you must say the.
Because it's a specific Tuesday next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I hope that's clearer. I think your friend is absolutely correct, but his use in the first example of the next Monday is unusual, but also we think acceptable.
And how do you say, I know it's not your question, but a typical mistake I often hear is, how do you say in English, te veo el lunes?
I'll see you Monday.
Right. I'll see you Monday. Or you could say on Monday if you like, but on is not obligatory. But again, no the.
No.
Te veo el lunes. I'll see you on, or I'll see you Monday. No the.
We have another email, Reza, from Sergi from Barcelona. Could you read what Sergi has written?
Sergi writes, how are you? I'm listening you, I think he should say, I'm listening to you every week during my commute. I'm a little concerned about two English grammar expressions. Therefore, I would like to ask you about my problem. I'm referring you about this problem began in the last episode.
I'm referring you? No. I'm referring to this problem. I'm referring to this problem that began in the last episode, or that you mentioned in the last episode.
Uh-huh. And he actually means episode 134. 134, where you gave us the next example. How do you feel when someone catches you doing something you shouldn't be doing?
Oh, that's the episode on feelings. How do you feel when, how do you feel when someone catches you doing something you shouldn't be doing?
And he asks, I felt a lot of curious, I think he means, I felt very curious. Curious is an adjective. We don't say a lot of plus an adjective. We say a lot of plus a noun. So
what's the noun of curious?
I felt a lot of curiosity, mm-hmm. you could say, about the construction you doing. Why you aren't using the verb to be in the middle? For instance, you are doing. Okay, so how do you feel when someone catches you doing something? He's asking, why not say, how do you feel when someone catches you are doing? Aha, mm-hmm. Good question. The second one is located at the end of the sentence. Why you are using, I think you mean to say, why do you use the verb do plus ing? Something you shouldn't be doing. It acts like an adjective, adverb, perhaps. I don't really understand what you mean by that, Sergi, an adjective, adverb, but I can answer your question, I think. How do you feel when someone catches you? They catch you, and then it's followed by ing, but nothing else, because, Sergi, it isn't a present continuous tense. You doing is not a present continuous tense. It's a present participle clause. But you know what? It's the same in Spanish. ¿Cómo te sientes cuando alguien te pilla haciendo algo? It's the same in Spanish. Alguien te pilla haciendo. You don't say in Spanish, cuando alguien te pilla, estás haciendo. No, that's wrong. Cuando te pilla haciendo. So it's just like Spanish. It's what we call a participle clause. Like Spanish. Catches you doing something you shouldn't be doing? Well, shouldn't is a modal verb, right? And after modals, you're obliged to use an infinitive without to. Should eat, shouldn't eat, should come, must come, can't run, might happen. Okay. Be doing is an infinitive, Sergi. It is an infinitive. But it's the continuous infinitive, which instead of do is be doing. Continuous infinitive of eat, be eating. Run, be running. Stop, be stopping. We call it the continuous infinitive, be plus ing.
We hope that answers your question, Sergi. And if it's not clear, please let us know. Next, we have an email from Antonio Tenorio from Palencia. Oh, it's been cold in Palencia lately. It's been very, very cold in Palencia. Antonio says, hi, Reza and Craig. First of all, I would like to wish you and your families all the best for the new year and that your wishes will come true. Thank you, Antonio. The same to you. Secondly, I'm feeling fair to say to you, I think it's better to say it's fair to say. Antonio. So secondly, it's fair to say to you how much I enjoy listening to your podcasts and learning English through the easy way you do it. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Moreover, I have to admit, I think moreover in this is a little too formal, Antonio. You could say also, or another thing is, because it's a fairly informal email. So another thing is, I have to admit that after having listened your whole collection, well, remember the two? After having listened to your whole collection of podcasts, I have found out that I can help tuning it all the time.
I don't know what he means by that.
Me neither.
I can help? Do you mean I can't help? Maybe negative. I can't help means I can't stop. Is that what you mean, maybe?
Possibly, yeah. Maybe it's the negative, yeah. So he's listened to all of our collection of podcasts. Wow, that's over 130. Wow, that's a lot. Finally, I can tell you how lucky I would feel in case we meet someday just to touch base. That's a nice expression. To touch base with someone means to make contact, to say hello, to communicate, to touch base with someone.
Oh, I've just realized what you mean when you say I can or I can't. I can't help tuning in all the time. Tuning in is not the same as tune. To tune in, the phrasal verb means entonarse in the radio or a podcast. Ah, now I understand. You can't help tuning in all the time. Oh, well, thank you. That's a compliment.
Yep. Thank you very much. And that comes from Antonio Tenorio from Grijota, Palencia. Now, we've had a few emails and comments asking how to listen to our podcasts. So very quickly, how can you listen to our podcasts? Well, possibly the easiest is to go to the website, which is inglespodcast.com, and click on the player. There's a huge, big media player on the website, and you can listen on your laptop, on your PC, on your mobile phone. It's very easy. If you have a mobile phone and you want an application, we do have an Inglés podcast application in the Apple Store and in Google Play Music. So you could listen through our app. Or if you listen to other podcasts on iOS, which is the iPhone or iPad, you go to the podcast app and search for La Mención del Inglés. And you'll find Inglés podcast. Or you could listen through an app on Android mobile or Android tablet using the Stitcher app. That's Stitcher. It's free, and you can download that Stitcher app from the Google Play Store, and it's a special app for listening to podcasts, which is great because you can listen to Reza and I, and you can listen to many, many other podcasts in English to improve your listening. And something that would really help us, even if you're listening through the website, even if you're listening through Stitcher or a different podcast app, if you go to iTunes and you subscribe on iTunes, that really helps us to become more visible so more people can find us and listen to our podcast. So please go to iTunes, subscribe, and leave us a review and a few stars if you have time.
We'd like to tell you about our sponsor, Italki. Italki, what is it? Well, it's a one-on-one way of learning English with a native speaker, a teacher, and you can choose who your teacher is going to be. You just go to the Italki website and you can look at the profile of the different teachers, which tells you about their experience, their qualifications, and also when they're free, when they're available to teach you, and you, therefore you can find a time which is suitable for you. Even strange times, if you want to have a class at 2 o'clock in the morning, you can, because your teacher might be in Australia. So they might be Australian or Irish or American or Canadian or even British. And so you can choose the accent you want. It's also very affordable. In fact, you choose the price because different teachers charge different amounts of money. What's more, if you sign up to Italki, all you need is an internet connection and Skype. And if you do it through inglespodcast.com/Italki, Italki will give you 100 credits, which will probably pay for your first class free, so you can give them a try, see if you like them. And if you do, well, just continue. Craig and I would like to thank Italki for sponsoring Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig.
Thank you, Italki. Next, we have a voice message from Joan Vega Chaveri, who is asking us to speak about the prepositions out, up, of, and off. So here's Joan.
Hello, Fresa and Craig. This is Johan from Costa Rica. I hope you be good. I have a question about out, up, off, and off with double F. I know that this word is used in phrasal verbs, but sometimes I don't know when I have to add this word to another word. I hope you understand what I'm talking about. So I would like you explain me and help me to learn how to use it in a good way. Because I always get confused and don't understand how to use them. Thank you for the help, And I hope you have a great new year. And that's all. Goodbye.
Well, happy new year to you also, Joanne. Thank you for your message. Quite a wide area, quite an open question there from Joanne Reza, because as Joanne said, used these prepositions are used in many phrasal verbs, and there are probably hundreds and hundreds of different possibilities to use them, but we will try to speak about some of the more common uses of those prepositions.
Yeah, Johan, just let us say right at the beginning to make sure there's no ambiguity. There are no fixed rules. We wish there were, but there aren't. It's a question of collocation. Certain prepositions go after certain words, certain nouns, verb, adjectives, not for any logical reason, just because they do, I'm afraid to say. You have to just learn them.
So let's start by looking at out, O-U-T. Let's look at some common uses of out. Obviously, with go out is a very common use of out. I went out last night. Did you go out last night?
No, I didn't. I stayed in.
Me too, because we worked this morning, so Friday night, Reza and I usually stay in. We don't go out. What other collocations go without, Reza?
A very common one is walk out. Walk out the room, walk out the door.
Also, fall out has more than one meaning. Physically, something can fall out of your pocket or fall out of your hand. But if you fall out with someone, what does that mean? If we fell out, for example.
It would mean that we had an argument and we stopped having a good relationship. That's to fall out.
So you can fall out with your boss, for example.
Your friend, or worst of all, your partner.
Or your parents. To be out is also very common. You can say he's out or she's out. That means he's not here or she's not here. Where's your sister? Oh, she's out. I don't know where she is. She's gone out and I don't know where she is. So to be out is another common use of out.
Although to be out of something is not the same meaning. If I say I'm out of milk or I'm out of biscuits, it means I don't have any milk or biscuits because I've used them all.
Actually, I am out of biscuits. So it's lucky you didn't come this morning and you're here this afternoon, because I wouldn't have any biscuits for you. I'm out of biscuits. Out is often used with of, as we mentioned before, to be out of something. You can be out of touch with someone, which means out of contact. For example, over the years, I've become out of touch with some friends. I used to be in touch with them before, but now we're out of touch. We're not in contact.
If you're not in your normal town of residence, we say you're out of town. I'm not at home. I had to go away on a business trip. I'm out of town.
You were out of town over Christmas.
That's right.
Out of the way is another common collocation, to be out of the way. For example, if you want to go somewhere and it's difficult to get there, you can say this place is out of the way, or this restaurant, it's difficult to find because it's out of the way. It's away from the center. Also, if you're walking and somebody is in your way and you're trying to walk in the street, you could say, please get out of the way. Please move. You're in my way. So please get out of the way.
What about the expression out of bounds, Craig?
Out of bounds, B-O-U-N-D-S. Fuera de límite, out of bounds. You could use that in sport. For example, it could be out of bounds in cricket.
Or it can be used to describe being in a restricted area, an area where normally you're not allowed to be, like a building with dangerous chemicals or something. It might say out of bounds. That means you cannot enter this room.
Yeah, exactly. Don't go inside. It's out of bounds. It's forbidden. Also, you could pick up your milk or pick up a packet of food, and you can see that it's not good because it's old. Fuera de fecha or caducado. How would you say that with out of?
Out of date.
This milk is out of date, for example.
Yeah. Although you can also say that for fashion. Many of Reza's clothes are out of date. They were fashionable 5 years ago, but not now.
But if you wait long enough, they'll come back in.
Because Reza is a bit out of touch. He doesn't keep up with fashion, so he gets out of date quite easily.
But what happens when you get to my age and you need glasses, that if Reza's sitting far from me, I can't see what he's wearing because he's out of sight, which means I can't see him. So to be out of sight is fuera de la vista.
But Craig, I may be out of sight, but I'm sure I'm not out of mind, am I?
Another collocation, to be out of mind. Yeah, to not think of someone.
There's an expression in English, out of sight, out of mind.
What does that mean?
It means if you can't see something or someone, then you won't think about it.
Do you think that's true?
No.
Me neither.
That's what they say, but I don't think it's true. Mm. Because we've got an opposite expression for every expression. Out of sight, out of mind. And then the opposite, absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Exactly.
They completely contradict each other.
It's the opposite. So those are a few collocations with out. Joanne, let's look at up. And some phrasal verbs and collocations with up. For example, jump up. To jump is saltar. So if someone calls your name, you jump up, you saltas.
What about look up, Craig? What does that mean?
Different meanings. You can look up physically, which means you're working at your desk. Somebody calls you, they call your name, and you physically look up. Hacia arriba. So you look up to see who's calling you. Obviously, you can check the meaning of a word by looking it up in the dictionary or online. So I didn't know the answer. I looked it up on the internet. Remember, the object, the pronoun it, separates the phrasal verb and goes in the middle when the meaning is buscar. So look it up, or look the telephone number up, or look the address up.
Do you think 2017 will be a better year than 2016? Are things looking up?
I think not.
Okay.
Based on what happened in 2016, but I'm maybe getting a little bit pessimistic. Reza's use there of looking up means improving. Do you think things are looking up this year, or will look up this year?
No, to be honest. We're sorry to be so pessimistic, but maybe things won't get any worse, but they're not really looking up, if you ask me. I'm talking about the general situation the world's in. There are a lot of problems and wars. I feel a little bit apprehensive about it, if I'm honest. You too?
Yeah, I agree with you. And I don't want to dig up the past, but I hope things are going to look up this year. To dig up means uncover something. You can dig up a dead body, for example, that's buried under the ground, enterrado. So you dig something up, or you can dig up something from the past, a bad memory. It's usually negative, isn't it? Don't dig up the past. Don't uncover something that happened years ago.
Craig, if you knew of someone committing a terrible crime, what would you do?
I would tell the police. I would speak up. So to speak up means to voice your opinion, to tell someone, to speak about it. If you're speaking very softly like this, maybe someone says, can you speak up? Can you speak up? Can you speak louder? Can you speak up, please? Reza, what time did you get up this morning? Because you taught in the British Council, didn't you? You had a lesson. What time did you get up?
I got up at about 7:10. What about you?
I got up at 7. What, well, you got up at 7:10 and you got to work at 9:05?
Yeah.
What were you doing for like 2 hours?
Do you think that's a long time, yeah?
Yeah.
That's a long time.
I got up at 7 and I was there at 8 o'clock.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm going to add another expression without. I was working out a bit.
Oh, okay.
I was doing exercises. I like to do some exercise. I like to work out a little bit. Maybe to say workout is an exaggeration, because the workout is to do a lot of exercises.
You like to wake up.
Yeah. I did a little bit of exercise. Maybe workout is an exaggeration, but I did some exercises that take me 20 minutes in the morning. So that takes a little bit of time.
So it takes you about 20 minutes to wake up.
Yeah.
Okay.
What does put up mean?
Put up. Put up with is aguantar or sufrir. So you can put up with noisy neighbors, for example. You can put up with bad students, which means you suffer them. Can you think of another meaning of put up? You can put up somebody in your flat. You can give them a bed, let them sleep in your flat. Can you put me up for the weekend?
I like your story about the time you put up the mayonnaise man.
The
mayonnaise man. El hombre de la mayonesa. Yes. Craig, can you briefly tell the listeners the story about when you put up the person who gave you problems with the mayonnaise?
Yeah, he might be listening to this, actually. So if you're listening, hello, Ian. Name and shame. Ian stayed. I put up a friend a few years ago, and I put Ian up for a few days. And we went out for a few beers one night and had a drink. And the next morning, the kitchen was covered completely with mayonnaise. There was mayonnaise on the fridge, on the door of the fridge. There was mayonnaise on the kitchen cabinets and mayonnaise on the cooker and everywhere, because Ian had made himself a sandwich. So everything was covered with mayonnaise. But that does not mean I wasn't happy to put Ian up. Go up. Can you think of an example with go up? That's another common use of up.
Yeah, prices always go up. They never seem to go down. In fact, I heard on the radio recently that the price of electricity in Spain has gone up 70% in 10 years.
Wow.
It's a fact.
That's a lot.
That's how much prices have gone up.
Everything's going up. Another use of up is to pick up. Obviously, if you drop something, then you need to pick it up. Another phrase verb you can separate with the pronoun it or with the object. Pick up your jacket or pick your jacket up. But of course, there's something else you can pick up, isn't there?
Yeah, Craig, have you ever picked up a girl?
Of course.
What's that now?
What's that like?
No, what's that now? I wouldn't know what you're talking about. You better explain it to me. I'm quite innocent about such things.
Pick up, it can mean ligar. So you can pick up a girl or a man at a disco, in a club, in a bar, in a restaurant. You can pick someone up, which means you start speaking to them. You ask for their phone number. Maybe you ask them to go out with you, have a drink with you. To pick someone up is ligar.
But another meaning of pick up simply means to collect someone in your car. Like, my daughter is at her piano lessons. When she's finished, I'm going to pick her up and bring her home.
Mm-hmm.
Collect her in my car.
Exactly. And you can, of course, pick up the phone. If the phone is ringing, please pick it up. Answer it. Have you heard the expression man up? That's become very popular, especially in America. Man up and do it means be a man. Face your fears.
Yeah, don't be frightened. Don't be soft. Be like a traditional man who shouldn't be frightened of anything.
Come on, man up. And time's up is another use of up. If you say time's up, that's finished. It means finished. Let's move on to of, Reza. What uses can you think of with the preposition of that might help, Joan?
Is that OF or OFF?
OF. There is a difference with the pronunciation. If there's one F, of, then there's vibration in your throat. So you should be able to put your hand, do it now, put your hand on your throat, garganta, very gently, and say the word of. Can you feel the vibration? Of. That's with one F. Now, if there are two Fs, off, it's just air passing your teeth, passing your lips. So there's no vibration in the throat. Listen, off, f, f, off, off. So of and off, completely different.
When you're touching, feeling your throat to do this, don't put too much pressure on. We don't want to be responsible for you strangling yourself. No te estrangules. Yeah, we don't want legal problems. Just touch your throat very gently, please.
I can see the headline in the newspaper. Death of a student.
Yeah. Two podcasters under investigation for strangulation via internet.
The secret of improving your English is constant and varied practice. So it's the secret of something, the secret of improving your English. Remember, when you have a verb after a preposition, it's always a gerund, it's always ing. So the secret of improving your English. Can you think of another example with of?
The highlight of something, the best part. The highlight of this podcast is the end for some people.
Another example, the first page of the book describes the author's profile. So the first page of something.
Craig, why do we say the first page of the book, la primera página del libro, but then we say the author's profile? Why don't we say the profile of the author? And why don't we say the book's first page? Because in Spanish, the first one is de, and the other one is de. Primera página del libro, el perfil del autor. I would say it's because generally we use the word of when it's not a person, the first page of the book. Mm-hmm. But when it's a person, we tend to use apostrophe S, the author's profile. No?
Yep, as a possessive. So it's the profile of the author's profile, or Craig's profile, or Reza's car, for example.
Craig, have you ever dreamed of anything?
I've often dreamed of being rich and famous.
Well, you could say you are famous because of the podcast, but I know you're not rich because of the podcast. But famous, perhaps?
I don't think so.
Slightly, to a few thousand people, anyway.
Possibly. Also, when you're speaking about dates, for example, or times of the year, you can say, I got married in the summer of 2000, the year 2000. So the summer of a particular year, or the winter of a particular year, is another use of. When speaking about pictures, you can say, this is a picture of my dog, or this is a picture of my wife. And when you're speaking about percentages and numbers, you can sometimes use of. For example, I got a discount of 15%. Or I got a reduction of £10 on the price of something.
Craig, have you drunk much coffee this morning?
I've drunk what I usually drink, which is 3 cups. So I've had 3 cups of coffee this morning. That's the similar use in Spanish. 3 cups of coffee, 2 cups of tea, a glass of beer, for example. A large number of people went to the demonstration. That's another use of. A large number of something, or a small number of something, similar to a percentage of something.
Craig, you know, I haven't slept a lot recently. I had only 4 hours of sleep during the last 2 days.
Only 4 hours of sleep, really?
Yeah.
Why have you been sleeping so badly?
Oh, I've just been so busy. Lots of things to do. And also, I've planned my time badly. Bad time management.
Well, that's not a very good start to the year. I think 2017 should be the year of more sleep. There are, of course, many, many more uses of. And I'll put a link in the show notes, which will be at inglespodcast.com/139, a link to wordreference.com, where you can find many more uses and examples of. Finally, let's look at off with no vibration, off. And again, there are many uses of off, and I have a link in the show notes at inglespodcast.com/139, where you can see more uses of off. But let's look at some of the more common ones. I can say I'm off now, which means I'm going, I'm leaving. What time are you off? What time are you off today, Reza?
Oh, whenever you throw me out. Cuando me echa.
Whenever I throw you out. Something can go off, which means it goes bad. Caduca. So I could say, does this milk smell off to you? Does it smell off? Does it smell bad?
Maybe fish. When it's out of date, it goes
exactly.
off.
When it's out of date, it goes off. In August in Valencia, fish goes off very quickly. Any more uses of off you can think of?
Yes, a few. Set off is a common expression. You can set off many things. You can set off an alarm, set off a bomb, set off a chain of events.
Mm-hmm.
Means start something happening.
And take off is another phrasal verb with off. You take off your clothes. You can take off a person, which means impersonate, speak in their voice. And of course, an aeroplane takes off, despegar.
Craig, you can take off your clothes if you like, but keep your hat on. As they say in a famous song. Do you know it?
Yeah, you can keep your hat on.
You can keep your hat on, but take off the rest of the clothes.
Who sings that?
I don't know who the original is. Don't worry. Joe Cocker, yeah. If we ever take off our clothes, we will keep our hats on and we'll warn you about it beforehand. Don't worry.
But we will probably turn off the lights. Turn off or switch off is apagar, which is another common phrasal verb.
And if we do take off our clothes, listeners, just consider yourselves lucky that this is only audio and not video. You're very lucky.
If you get something discounted, you can say you got money off. So I bought something recently and I got some money off. I got a discount. And if you take time off work, you can say that you are off sick. If you're ill from work and you don't go to work because of illness, you can say he's off sick or she's off sick. To be off work means to be away from work.
Craig, if I said to you, I'm going to finish off the wine. In fact, that's a bit late. I did finish off the wine, didn't I?
I've already drunk
the wine earlier today. I finished off the wine. What does that mean?
That's using off as the idea of completeness. So you finish it completely. So there's no more left. It's completely gone.
Because I suppose I could just say, I finished the wine.
Yes, you can.
But by adding the word off, it gives emphasis to the fact that I finished all of it. There's none left.
All half bottle. It was only a very small bottle. Because if it had been a bigger bottle, then maybe tomorrow Reza would have a hangover, which he would have to sleep off. To sleep off a hangover means to recover from a hangover by sleeping late.
What's a hangover?
Resaca. Okay. Too much wine, you get a hangover, you need to sleep it off.
We could have put hangover in our previous episode about compound nouns, couldn't we?
We could have, but we didn't.
It's a compound in English.
Yes.
But in Spanish it's just resaca, but in English it's a hangover. Something that hangs over you, okay? Lo tienes como
colgado
encima, como una algo de mala suerte, algo pesado. Yeah.
What's the past of hang?
Hang, hung.
Hung over. Yep. So I was hung over yesterday. There are many, many more uses of these prepositions, but don't stress out about it, Johan. Just learn them gradually. Make a list. Keep learning them one by one, poco a poco, and don't stress out.
So, Craig, I believe we have another email from one of our listeners, Gabriel Ruiz Cortez.
Yes, Gabriel says, I've got a question about the difference between off and away with movement verbs. For example, to drive off and drive away, to walk off and walk away, to go off and go away, or to run off and run away, etc. Very similar to what we've been speaking about hope you can help me. That's from Gabrielle. What do you think?
That's a difficult question, Gabrielle. They're kind of similar.
They are, aren't they? Very, very similar.
What could be a difference? Well, maybe off means away from. Like, the car drove off means the car drove away from where it had been. Away from. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, but looking at these, I can't really see a big difference in meaning. I think they're very, very similar. Obviously, depending on the context, but I'm trying to think of sentences and examples, and every one, the meaning is very, very similar. I had an argument with my girlfriend and I drove away angrily. I had an argument with my girlfriend and I drove off angrily. I mean, the meaning is pretty much the same. I walked away slowly. I walked off slowly. Is there a difference?
Not really, no.
The thief stole my wallet and ran away. The thief stole my wallet and ran off. I think they're the same. I really do think they're the same, unless you can think of a difference.
Hmm. But in reality, it doesn't make a big difference, does it?
I don't think so, Gabrielle. I think they're very, very similar, and I wouldn't worry about a difference unless you can think of a specific example in a context, and then please send it to us if you think they might be different, and we'll confirm it or not. And now it's your turn to practice your English. If you have a question or an idea for a future podcast, please let us know by voice message and tell us what you think. You can send your messages via SpeakPipe, that's speakpipe.com/inglespodcast, or send an email with a comment to me, Craig, at inglespodcast.com.
Or to me, Reza, at belfastreza@gmail.com.
And for more detailed show notes of every episode that we've made so far, and if you'd like to support us for that, go to patreon.com/inglespodcast. And we'd like to thank our lovely sponsors, who are Lara, Carlos, Zara, Mamen, Juan, Sara, Cory Finneran, Manuel, Jorge, Raul, Rafael, Daniel.
The other Manuel, so Manuel Garcia and Manuel Tarazona, Mariel, Maite and Lorena.
And a special thanks to Arminda from Madrid, who has been transcribing some episodes for us. And you can find those on inglespodcast.com. They are available for all listeners of this podcast.
If you're a Patreon supporter, one of the people on the list that we've just mentioned, Craig has sent you a free copy of his latest ebook, How to Pass a Job Interview. And if you have any problems downloading the book, you can send an email to craig@inglespodcast.com and it'll help you to get it via your Dropbox.
Yes, you can pick up that. You can find that ebook and the audio that goes with it on the Patreon page at patreon.com/inglespodcast. On next week's episode, Reza and I will be speaking about quantifiers. Like words like some, lots of, a few of, etc. So join us next episode. And until then, it's goodbye from me.
And I'm Ofsky.
You're off. Yeah, both of us are off. We're going. The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later.